Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. We have a lot of scripture this evening. See how we get on, because I don't know how long it would take. I'm going to have to just see how I go through this tonight. I want to speak on the subject of widespread witchcraft. Widespread witchcraft. And you know, it's further spread than you think. And it's in different places and avenues, more than you think as well. Ephesians 6, please. We're going to read verse 10. Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Remember, if I've taught you that before, the wiles is the methodia. That means the methods of the devil. Every method that he would have in our world, every method that he would have in society, every single method that he can think of, he wants to poison you with his darts and your children's children, as Billy was singing. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the songs that we have been singing for Billy's ministry, and we thank you for the musicians and the singers, and we thank you for so many here tonight, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless them. As our faces differ, so do our needs. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would look at each and every face that represents a family, a home, but a person. And, oh God, that you would meet them at the point of their need. We think of our youth and the leaders who are down there in the building in Guildford tonight. We ask you to bless them as they have their meeting. We pray for the youth, Lord, that something would be put into their hearts that would, Lord, last them for eternity. Oh God, if there are some of our young people there or others who have come in who may not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we pray tonight they would come to a saving knowledge in him. Bless the speaker, bless the young people as they lead in praise and worship and singing, and bless their fellowship together. So, Father, now for us here, we ask you to settle us in your presence. Father, we just pray for young Jesse in the hospital with Wendy there with him, and we pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon him, Lord. Whatever it is that's wrong with him, we've kept him in for. We pray, O God, that you would rest your healing hand on him, and let him and his mommy and daddy and family know, Lord, that you're with them at this time. Glorify the name of your son, Father, and let us see him raised from the sick bed. And Father, we'll always be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 12 tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So there's a spiritual battle, a spiritual realm, a spiritual war going on for the souls of men and women, young people, old people. And there's also a spiritual war that goes on against the Christian in society. Many people don't realize about this spiritual warfare. It's invisible to the naked eye. But in the spiritual realm, God knows all about it. And tonight we want to look at some of the manifestations of witchcraft. Now, when we say witchcraft, people think of black pointy hats and big pointy noses with maybe, I don't know, a big carbuncle on the end of it or something, you know, all this sort of stuff, and hubble bubble toad and trouble round a cauldron and all this sort of. Most of the times, that sort of stuff doesn't happen. There are those places around the world which are satanic temples, for example, and there are those covens that they do, if you want, hex people, curse. There's one not too far from here. And not so long ago, I was told that they were trying to hex me all the time. And they're just down about a mile down the road here. There's another one not far from there also. And I'm told there's maybe 40 people who gather to worship Satan in it. Not too far. And there's one in different areas around here. So it is about, but we tend to look at those and those things alone as if that's where the spiritual wickedness is. And that's not true. Those are manifestations. But there's higher powers that we don't even realize. That is men and women in high places, high positions. We don't realize what they get up to until sometimes it's manifest in society, manifest through what they are planning for the population of men and women. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, please. Let your eye run down to verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Notice that's a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. That's your flesh, everybody's flesh. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit is living in you, then he is your strength, your power, your ability. And you can't live the way you used to. The flesh will want to until Christ returns and we receive our full redemption in the changing of the body. But there'll be a war in you. And the devil will want you to go the way of the world, the way of the flesh, his way. And there may be spiritual attitudes. There may be demonic spirits that will oppress, not possess now, oppress even the Christian if they're not close to Christ. If they're not walking in the ways of the Word and of the Lord. And they have a field day with them. Notice this, there is a war going on. Verse 18, but if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Notice this, for the works of the flesh are manifest. Would you say manifest? Manifest. Now this is important because it manifests the works of the flesh. And the spirits of devils can press men and women, their attitudes, their ways, their thinking, and it manifests through their depravity of their flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things, that is, who are continually, habitually living this lifestyle, it's not when you feel on a rare occasion, and you repent. It's a habitual lifestyle. It means that they're not saved. Doesn't matter what they say, if they're living in sin, notice what it says. Paul says, I've told you before, in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, this is you, Christian, and me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So the apostle's telling us tonight, he's letting you know and I know as Christians that the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. And as he lives in us, he leads us, he guides us, but he strengthens us. Every one of us live in a flesh body and it fails. That's why he shows us our failures and he leads us into places of repentance. He leads us to the place where the blood was shed at Calvary again, where we say, Lord, you died for me, you paid my debt, and Lord, you shed your blood for me. But he's talking about those who are leading a habitual lifestyle, sinning with opportunity without conviction of sin. He says they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we find here one of these that he mentions are witchcraft. We'll look at it in a moment. He actually mentions some 17 manifestations of the flesh. 17 of them. Now, we're not going to go through those tonight. It would take forever. 17 manifestations of the flesh. And then he mentions 9 fruit of the Spirit. 9 fruit of the Spirit. If you're a Christian, then, for example, one of them is hatred, and you have hatred in your heart continually for someone or something, hatred upon hatred, and it never leaves you. There's something wrong. We must get that out of the way and over to God. There's something wrong. We must surrender that part, that hurt, that portion unto God. But here we find the word manifest. It's a word phaneros. And it means, listen to this, plainly recognized so that anyone can see. And Paul is saying all of these are plainly recognized and people can see them. Because through your flesh, it's acted out. Or through the unsaved flesh, it's acted out. It means to be well known, to become open and evident. And hence, the unsaved are continually showing forth the manifestation of the flesh, the manifestation of whatever spirit is driving them. Hence, you and I should be showing the manifestation through our flesh of the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. So you see the difference tonight before we go much further. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 18, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Just a few verses. Let your eye run down for time's sake to verse 9. Listen to what the Lord said unto Israel. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire. In other words, this was a holocaust unto Moloch. They used to make a brazen image and burn their children and their little ones in the arms of Moloch as they heated it up alive. They used to get them to pass through hot coals of fire as a way to worship Tammuz, the son of Nimrod, allegedly. Notice this, if you will. Anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or useth divination, or an observer of the times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. God is saying the things that they do, I hate them. And hence, Israel, I will give you victory that you will live in the land, but you must live before me. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Now take note of this, if you will. The little word in verse 10, which now there's enchanters, there's observers, there's divination mentioned, charmers, consulters, familiar spirits, and wizard or necromancer. Necromancers is someone who tries to summon the dead. Do you realize there's a big night happening not too far from here soon in the little town of Dromore, where the necromancers will be there under the cover of trying to help you to speak to your dead relatives and loved ones? It's advertised, and the amount of people who come on looking forward to this in our land. This is witchcraft. This is demonic. It's happening all over. So if you will, go with me to 2 Chronicles 33. I know it's a bit like a Bible study there, but it's good to read the scriptures. 2 Chronicles 33, please. And just again for time's sake, Manasseh is a wicked king in the house of Judah in Jerusalem. His father was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a reformer, a good king who reformed Judah back to the worship of Yahweh. And Hezekiah is the one who cried unto the Lord when he was going to die, and the Lord gave him 15 years. But in the 15 years, he had his son Manasseh. And Manasseh must be the most cruel and wickedest king that ever came out of the house of David from Judah. Must be the most wicked king ever there was, whenever God gave him 15 years, that to Hezekiah's father. Now listen to this, if you will. Let your eye run down just to verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times. God said not to do in earlier years, they're doing. He observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel will I put my name forever. So that which God has hallowed for his name, Manasseh, and the kings even before him, Manasseh has done exactly what God said not to do and has brought it into the land. Do you ever wonder why our nation is in such distress? Do you ever wonder why our nation is in such turmoil? Why the great is out of Britain? Why our lands are overrun with the heathen? Do you ever wonder why there is a spiritual declension? Do you ever wonder why there are so much happening across the nation when we find that all of these things are happening today? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8, please. Isaiah chapter 8. Let's write on down again, please, to verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Notice this, to the law, that's God's law, and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Israel of old lost its light, and it has again. We have lost our light tonight. For years it has been worn down. For years it has been a little bit here and a little bit there, taken away here, taken away there, and witchcraft has become widespread. Tonight I could go through your children's programs, the children's little cartoons. There's even one out that teaches them on the Ouija board. There's game boards out now for kids. I was talking to someone tonight about it. They brought it to my attention, and I knew about that. There's ones with little unicorn sort of stickers, and it's all to do with Ouija boards, seeking familiar spirits. And it's not, brothers and sisters and friends tonight, when you go to some of these people, it is not your relatives that are speaking. It is another spirit. Be aware of that. It is not your relatives. It is another spirit. I could bring you to their music, to their pop concerts, becoming more not only vulgar in their display and in their lyrics, but I could bring you to how they are openly worshipping Satan. And children and teenagers and parents bringing them, they are singing along with them, exalting and lifting high this demonic spirit. As I said, there's a group down not far from here, about a mile. One night we were in the building down the road, and this woman comes in, sits right at the back. I'm up this end at the stage, pulpit area. She comes in and sits right at the back. Andrew, you maybe remember this. She comes in, fur haired guard sits there. We're singing, it doesn't bother. There's ministry in the spirit. An interpretation comes. And she jumped up and she was like a wildcat. She kicked the doors open and went flying out outside. And we found out she's a woman who runs a coven and couldn't stand the moving of the spirit. So these things are real and these things are true. But they're even bigger than you and I would think. We think of the satanic temples across the United States and elsewhere that have now sprung up. And look, we think of, well, if they're demonic, they must be, you know, that as I said, they must be all wearing black and they must have all that sort of gothic makeup on and they must have all their piercings in and all over the place. That's not what that is. A friend of mine went to the Cave Hill in Belfast. And up the back of the Cave Hill at a certain time of the year, don't want to say when it was, but at a certain time of the year, there's a coven that met up there to curse certain ones in the city. So they went up, a group of Christians, to pray against this. And this is what this person I know was their first time ever at something like this. And they, as they go to pray, and they're waiting in this other group coming, they're not far from them. They're waiting and thinking it's going to be like heavy metalers or, you know, all this sort of stuff. No, all real, you know, doing all these hands, demonic hand signs and all of this sort of stuff. No. They were bank managers. They were doctors. They were lawyers. They came up in BMWs, Mercedes-Benz. They came up in the best of cars. He says, I couldn't believe it. I thought they're going to be coming up maybe in a load of motorbikes. You know, they're ripping off them, coming up and taking off their leather jackets or something and being tattooed from head to toe and all this sort of stuff. They were well dressed. They came in their nice cars and they gathered to worship Satan at the back of the Cave Hill. So this Christian started, these Christians, they started to to worship and to pray against it, and they couldn't minister. That is the cultic ones. They couldn't have their service. They couldn't worship Satan because they said there was something blocking them. And you know what it was? It was the prayers of the saints. It was the prayers of the saints. And guess what? The police came and moved the Christians because there's so many police in it too. So many high up in Masonic order. It's everywhere in society. That's why Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God. That's why Paul tells us and gives us each piece to put it on, spiritually speaking, to defend against these things and to attack if necessary in the spirit. And you must be careful. Remember one night in the last church I pastored, I got a rap at the door just after a Sunday night at church, and I was still dressed in the suit. And I just literally got in maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And this person raps the door, and I said, hello. And they said to me, could you come around to this fella's house? His wife has contacted looking somebody to think that he's possessed. And they want to know if you will come around and speak to him. And I said, okay, all right. So I went round. The man's sitting on the settee. The wife and children are upstairs, petrified. And I walked in with these two fellas, the one that got me and someone else that comes to here. And as I walked in the living room, the man was sitting as though he was a piece on the sofa like this, the tea. So I'm talking over here, and it's as if he wasn't taking me under any notice. So I thought, this is a spirit here. Totally blanking me, sitting right there. So I pulled a stool over, and he was there, and I sat right in front of him, eyeballing him. Started to ask him questions. Started to reply to me. And I said to him, what's your name? He says, you don't want to know my name. I said, I'm asking you, what's your name? And his eyes went like pools of ink, and out of this voice came out from his ungodly. And he said, I'm Satan. So I said, no, you're not. He says to me, do you want to see him? I says, yeah, show yourself. And like this, he was off the sofa, had me by the throat, foaming at the mouth on the floor. And I was rolling around the living room floor wrestling him. He was that powerful. He was overwhelming me. And the other two boys had to jump on to try to restrain him. I ended up, I had him with my knee and his face on the floor, my full weight on him. And I says, now, what's your name? I'm Satan. I says, no, you're not. I says, you're like a big pussycat. And he went daft. And after a while, we prayed him. Next thing, he calmed and the spirit left him. Just left him. You might say, why am I telling you this? Because those are things that happen, but I'm going to show you in society the greater things that are happening that people don't realize. Not too far from here. Tandragee, actually, not far from here, just outside in the countryside. I got a call from a mother. She was a nurse, and she was on her own living, and she had it with her child, and her child was waking up squealing with nightmares, saying she was tormented. And as we went up to this country lane, there was a house just up a bit on the country lane. It was dark when I went up with another pastor, and when we went up, it was a warlock who was in the house before, above. And he had hung himself. He couldn't stick his own spells any longer. And I says, you know what, I'm going to go round and up to his house here. As I walked round up to his house, pitch black, never forget it, I walked over the threshold of his gateway, of his garden. So I walked over the threshold, I turned around, the other pastor was froze. I says, come on. We need to do this in Jesus' name. No. He walked with me. And we get up and you looked in and there was the pentagram on the floor and all of this stuff. You see it all there? It was as if it was just happened. They were just using it there 5 minutes ago. And I says, we need to pray here, then pray in this house. We need to ask the Lord to protect this family and cover them in the blood. Now, when we started to pray, this squeal came from the hedges round about. I mean, squealing from the hedges around about. And about 30 cats started crying all at once, squealing. And burst out of the hedges all around our feet, going mad. And I just says, just keep praying. This younger pastor had never experienced anything like this before. I says, now you pray and just keep praying. I kept praying and praying and praying and everything just settled. We went into the woman's house. We went to the room where their child slept. We prayed there. We prayed in the living room. We prayed in her garden. We prayed everywhere. Just kept praying. And the next time I spoke to that woman, she says, my child has slept like a top ever since. Never had as much as a nightmare or a bad dream. You know why I'm telling you that before we go any further? Because I want you to know, brothers and sisters, you see, greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a glorious Christ. And the Holy Ghost is within us. There's others like that. And I'm bringing you somewhere with this, because when Paul mentions in Galatians 5, and especially in verse 20, Paul mentions that the word witchcraft among this litany of manifest things from the flesh, 17 of them. One of them is even lasciviousness, and it means to have uncleanness, which is before it, without restraint, and to be shameless about it. It's to be outrageous. So lasciviousness means they are outrageous where their flesh, driven by these spirits, will bring them. Does it sound familiar in the world today? Does it sound familiar in the streets today? Does it sound familiar what you're hearing in society today? Where spirits are now in their mind, in their heart, being driven through the flesh and the lusts of it. Does it sound familiar to you? And that's what the apostle is saying. Put on your whole armor, because they're out there. They're lost and they need prayer. They're lost and they need saved. They're lost and they need Jesus. But they're out there. This word here, witchcraft, and many of us will know it as the word pharmakia. I mentioned it not so long ago, and it's where we get our word pharmacy from, or pharmacist, but pharmacy in particular. And so I looked up a lot of different, referenced a lot of different Greek scholars to try and get a good balance on this. And please, when I say what I'm going to speak about the health profession, we have nurses come to our church, and they're saved Christian women and men who work in the health profession too. So please, please, don't think because they're there, this is what they are. Okay? I'm talking about these things are way up. Way up. It's like if we talk about world banking and the banking cartels, we don't go into the bank at the bank teller and start telling them off and saying, oh, you're off the devil because of what you're doing and you're antichrist. So we have nurses that are here, and even sometimes doctors that would come in. Please, we're not pointing this to them because they're well saved and they're lovely people. But this pharmakia, and as I looked it up, it means the general use of drugs, whether helpful by a physician or harmful by a person or persons, who want to inflict injury or who are careless about the possibility of inflicting that injury in the sense of possibly poisoning the recipient of such drugs. In other words, a pharmacist, I mean, yesterday I could hardly lift my head. I was busted all day. Head busted all day. About 8 o'clock, the headache left. Woke me up in the middle of my sleep. Busted. And guess what? I took pain relief. So please don't think I'm saying you should not take pain relief or any medicine. I am not saying that. But in this, it gives the idea, and it's bigger than this. We're going to look at this word for a moment. It gives the idea of someone who gives out drugs. Some are for our help and some aren't for our help. Aristotle, Polybius, and the Septuagint, that is the Old Testament in the Greek text, use this word of witchcraft since witches use drugs and make up potions. That's why it's there. It actually gives the idea more of enchantment with drugs. An enchanter. Enchantment with drugs. Now, I'll tell you why this put this in my mind. I hope you don't mind me saying that I was talking to you. Monday, was it? You have no choice now, so you don't do it. You know, David had been through a bit of a time there recently, and I met up with him on Monday. Was it Monday? Monday. And went and says, "You all right? Well, want to meet up for a cup of tea and get a chat?" And we went and we had a chat, and it started coming back and forth. We're just talking about the Lord and the things of God, the outreach he does on a Saturday night down in Lurgan and so forth, and with Nigel and others. And we were just talking about these things. And it came up about our testimonies and when we got saved. And he's having to mention, he says, "You know, you said things in your testimony." And he says, "I got it. You see, whenever I got saved, the night that I got saved, and even before I got saved, I had this experience where something came in to a room, lifted me out of my body, and I was terrified. Seen my body land on the ground, and this demonic being lifted me right out of myself, and then let me go. And I was petrified for months after that, and months. And the night that I got saved, I went to stay in a friend's house, lay on the floor with my face in toward the settee like that. And this demonic figure stood over me, a dark figure of about 9 foot tall. And I was petrified. This is the night I got saved. And that night I didn't know anything about the word, but I knew that I'd give my life to Christ. I knew that he had come into my life. I knew that he had saved me, and I couldn't describe it. And I said, "Jesus," that's all I knew. I meant it. You know I meant it. "Jesus, I know and you know I belong to you." Petrified. And away it went. So lo and behold, didn't I say to David, in fact, we were talking about it, and David said, "I heard you say that before, and guess what? The exact thing happened to me when I got saved." Isn't that right? Even the coming into a room, couldn't see anything, the feeling of it came close and entered right into me. And I knew it was taking me to hell. Simple as that. And shortly after that, at that meeting one night, I heard how Christ died for me. And that night I gave my life to Jesus. And I was washed in the blood. And he placed his Holy Spirit in me. And from that night to now, he's kept me by his power. Brothers and sisters, greater is he that is in me, you, than he that is in the Word. Jesus is still the King of Kings. Now, take note of this. This enchantment with drugs, clubs are full of it. You hear about the drugs all the time in our nation, among our people. I mentioned it to a man here. He's here tonight again. He's here this morning. He came to the Lord at the mission there during the week. We're talking about these things after church this morning. And I says to him, you know, when you're in that place where those drugs are and the music is built especially, see the music that the children are listening to, it's especially built to enhance the experience, but it's spiritual. It's specifically made like that to enhance the music, to enhance the experience, to get a greater high. And whenever you start taking drugs, you're always chasing the dragon, as they call it. Strange name to call it, isn't it? You're always chasing the dragon means the very high. It's a spiritual high. The very high you get, you're always chasing that dragon. And the further you, and the more you try to chase that dragon, the further you are away from the things of God. And I said, you know, these are spiritual matters. Enchantment with drugs means it's spiritual. And it's called witchcraft. There's witchcraft happening in the nightclubs all over the land. Talked about the kids' books briefly and all of those things. The music, but it's happening all over the nation. All over the land. And it's witchcraft. It's enchantment with drugs. The word pharmakia has another root word, which is a word pharmakia or pharmakuo. And it just simply means one who gives or sells or spells in potions, drugs, the magician, the sorcerer. See, a drug dealer, do you know what he is? He's a sorcerer. Do you see the nightclub DJ that helps you along? They're sorcerers. They're magicians. In fact, the first night I took drugs, what did you call the guy who was performing? The magician. And I believe if all of those nights I was in that place with drugs, that a spirit entered into me. And I became who I wasn't before. And that spirit stole, killed, and tried to destroy. Killed everything, even my very energy levels. Everything was dragged down. And it steals, kills, and destroys. That's what Satan does. That's what other spirits do. And in that, taking that drugs, it was so spiritual. I thought it was brilliant. And I thought, I'll try this once, and it had me until Jesus broke the chains off me. Revelation 18, if you will, please. Revelation 18, verse 21. Time's flying. I want to show you something before we go much further and before it gets too late. Revelation 18, verse 21. And with a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of her harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be, that's witchcraft even, shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. That's you and I. The preaching of the gospel is over. It's done. It's finished. The age of grace is gone. And Babylon is left in darkness. Spiritual Babylon is the now. I hope you know that by now, because I've been preaching it to you for long enough. The whole system, the banking system, the government system, the ecclesiastical system headed up by Romanism. It's Babylon. And notice what it says. There shall be no, heard no more at all in thee, and for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and for by thy sorceries, there's the word, were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all the slain upon the earth. Right from away back in ancient Israel, right through until the coming of the Lord. The very society, the people are lost and the people need saved. So, Revelation 21, while we're here. Verse 6, please. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely, and he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Sorcerers. Those who dabble in pharmakia. Those who sell it. Those who use it. I'm talking about this substance. But I want to show you something because you'll bear with me for a wee while, won't you, I finish a bit of this? Because it's important. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Let your eye run down to verse 10, please. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Take note of this. And Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. Notice, magicians, sorcerers, enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod. Notice, take word, note of the word, the rod. And they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. So here's three quick things. The two sorcerers of Egypt, do you know what their names are? Does anybody know their names? Their two names are Jannes and Jambres. Jannes and Jambres. And just for time's sake, you'll find it. If you read 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 9, you're reading verse 8, the names Jannes and Jambres bestowed Moses. That's the two sorcerers. Notice the rod and the serpents, okay? The rod and the serpents. Secondly, these sorcerers tried to replicate, they tried to match, to mirror the work of God. That's what the devil tries to do. 2 Corinthians 11:4, Paul tells us, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, makes it look good and proper. And the serpent was worshipped as a sacred symbol of the mysteries of Babylon. The serpent is seen in the Bible, the book of Genesis, from the beginning, right to the book of Revelation at the end. And thirdly, the sorcerers here, the pharmakia, used serpents for their healing. Used to use serpents in healing. Most of them were called like a sort of a rat snake, they called it. But they used serpents in healing rituals. Now take note of this. Thoth, the Egyptian god, as they thought, of the underworld, was involved in medicine, who was said to have raised Seti the first from the dead in the temple of Abydos. Thoth is depicted with two serpents, god of the underworld, the Egyptian underworld. Now, throughout the world of health, organizations are depicted with serpents. In Greek mythology, the god known as Asclepius is associated with health and healing. And the serpent was used in, again, healing rituals and practice. For example, the original, now they don't, I don't think they're anywhere near this now, but the original Hippocratic Oath of the health service, the original one years and years and years ago was this, began by saying, I swear by Apollo the healer and Asclepius and Hygelia and Panacea and by all the gods and goddesses. That was the Hippocratic Oath, the original one. That's how it started. There's a wee slide here, if we could show it, please. There's the World Health Organization. That's the World Health Organization. Let's see the next one, please. There's all the different organizations. Dental, optometry, veterinary, chiropractic. Let's see the next one, please. And this is taken from some of the chakras from Hinduism. And this is actually the two serpents going up the pole, two celestial wings. This is shown then in where? In yoga. Kundalini spirit or Kundalini yoga, you call it. And Kundalini energy or Kundalini serpent power, it's called. Now listen. The Kundalini means the coiled one. And in Kundalini yoga, they say it starts at the base of your spine. Your vertebrae are the ladders going up to higher ascent, like Jacob's ladder to heaven. There are seven chakras through the body which release different levels of knowledge and energy. So everywhere. Kundalini effects. Are you ready now? Kundalini effects. Intensified, unresolved psychological issues. This is a known fact. Kundalini can open you up to certain things that even unresolved issues become massive to destroy you. It brings conflict. By the way, this is not me saying this. This is done by a psychiatry students who have tried to deal with people who have done this. They call it conflict, and others become aggressive with it. They take an irrational fear of dying, a fear of everything. Insanity. Mood swings. And it brings great confusion to the practicer. The coiled spirit is at the bottom of your spine and it climbs up the vertebrae or the ladder to higher levels of thinking and revelation. That's what it means. Seven chakras opening up, showing you different levels of strength and revelation. That's what this is. Let us see the next one, please. I think this is the last one. Notice this. I don't know if you can see it. See it in the middle of Baphomet there? Did I give you another one? Is that it? That's a different one. Yeah. But you'll see the rod and the snakes here. There's actually most of the Baphomet ones and on the statues of the Church of Satan in Detroit, Michigan, and other places in the United States. I think one's in Little Rock, Arkansas, and other places. Actually, in the middle, on their statues where they worship, they actually have the rods and the serpents going up through Satan himself. This is the widespread witchcraft that's everywhere. Mindfulness. You're opening your mind. If your meditations, the mindfulness means you're emptying your mind, but another spirit will fill it. Okay, close with this. In 1 Samuel 15 and 23, Samuel disobeys the full commandments of the Lord. Here's one for us to watch out, even in the circles where people are adhering to some point about the things of God. And Samuel doesn't slay Agag and the Amalekites. He keeps him and some of the sheep behind. And the Lord says, these are a wicked people. These were demonic. Wipe them out. But he thinks better than God. 1 Samuel 15 and 23. This is what Samuel the prophet, this is what he says to Saul. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebelling against God? Can you think of those who are aggressive in rebellion against God? Against God's word, who think we're crazy, we're mad, we're nuts, and basically they're so in God's face in such rebellion, God sees it as witchcraft, it's another spirit. Even in church circles, not adhering to God's word, rebelling against him. What about those in church circles who are allowing all manner of sin in? What about those in church circles who are allowing in people from all sorts of walks of life, who are wanting to live in their sin? Wanting the church to accept them in their sin? For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Listen to what the Lord said. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. That was Saul. And the word witchcraft here is the word kesem, and it means divination. In other words, you're dividing up. You're taking your own place. You're God of your own life. Isn't that what you hear? Obedience to God's word is true worship, brothers and sisters. And disobedience to God's word is true rebellion and witchcraft. So I finish with Matthew Henry, Prince of the Commentators, old Puritan. Listen to what he says. Nothing is so provoking to God as disobedience and setting up our wills in competition with his. This is here called rebellion and stubbornness, and is said to be as bad as witchcraft and idolatry. It is as bad to set up other gods as to live in disobedience to the true God. Those that are governed by their own corrupt inclinations in opposition to the command of God do in effect consult the teraphim, the word here for idolatry. In other words, idolatry is another spirit. The making of idols is another spirit. Bowing down to them is another spirit. The idols in our hearts before God is another spirit. Is in effect to consult the teraphim, the word here for idolatry, or the diviners or the diviners. It was disobedience that made us all sinners. And Adam. The widespread witchcraft, it's not just hocus-pocus stuff, you know, hubble, bubble, toil and trouble, and every a few wee women and maybe a warlock around the whole, a big pot, you know, I don't know, putting in rats and snails and puppy dogs' tails, I don't know what they put into those things. It's not just that. It's not just about those who are dressed in black and are tattooed and are mad looking and all that. So it's not just that. It's not about those who wear the t-shirts on the pentagram on them. And look, all that's wrong and bad. Don't get me wrong. That's worrying things like that. But it's in every part of our society. It's in every place you look. And according to this, do you know where it is? It's in big pharma. It's in big government. It's everywhere. It's in every avenue, every department. It's in every street. It's in the media outlets. we could go on with this stuff. There's any amount of this stuff. That's just a snippet of what I wanted to bring you tonight. There's any amount of it there. And it's all flying in the face of God. It's Antichrist. It's another spirit. They're chasing after palm readers and soothsayers. And these people that are coming, saying they can contact the dead, the necromancers, the Bible calls it. And God said to Israel, when you go to the land, you don't do this. You don't follow the way of the ungodly, the heathen. But we're just the same, because today we've went the same way. We've went the same way. Whenever there's the big sounding all over Birmingham and Bradford, the call to prayer from mosques, you know what that is? That's summoning people to pray. But that Bible says it's another spirit. And the ungodly are like, you know why? Because you know that old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my best friend. That's what Satan does. The enemy of my enemy is my best friend. But he'll also cause them the row to fight among themselves and to hate one another at some point. But the Christian church are just, what about it? Let me finish with this. Whatever spiritually comes against you, whatever comes against your mind and your heart, you put on the armor of God. Here's it here. Read it. Put it on. We read it tonight. You put on the armor of God because you have flesh as well and it can make you fall. We all have. But you put on the armor of God. And if there's anything that the Holy Spirit has pointed out to you that you need to give up, give over, or change, do it. Don't give the devil a foothold. Neither give place to the devil, Paul says. Do it. But you know this, Christian. And don't you let anybody tell you any different. You know this, if you're Christ and you're washed in the blood, you know this tonight before you leave here, that you're on higher ground. You're fighting from victory, not for victory. We have victory in Christ. Thank God for the blood. I heard an old